Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Race to the Finish podcast. I know it's been a while. I don't want to keep everyone waiting. You know, everyone's still around here. But yeah, let's get right into it. So I know it's been a while. My last episode was on August 8th. And, you know, while I haven't been completely booked, it's been hard for me to find time to sit down and really find a time where I can sit down for a good hour at least and, you know, try to make something. Obviously, it's been a big time of the year for sports with football just starting up. Baseball's winding down towards the end. Hockey's about to start up again, which I'm very excited about. Media day for NBA teams is today. So NBA season's getting real close. Ryder Cup. I mean, I'm not a big golf guy, but you know, I love Colin Morikawa, so you nice to see him at the end there at the of the Ryder Cup, the third leg. But yeah, I'm just gonna get into, you know, like, well, you know, what I've been up to and what I'm really looking forward to, and you know, what the goal for the future of this podcast is. So if you follow me on social media, you know me. I'm very heavily invested in Great Mind Media. You know, obviously not financially, but I mean, just time-wise, me and Abel have taken a lot of time and put it into Leatherheads, our fantasy football podcast. Him and I really taking turns in the social media there, creating graphics and, you know, recording stuff, because all four of us, you know, Abel, Hunter, Matt and myself are all busy guys. The three of them are all big old working adults, and I'm in my senior year of college right now, so it's hard for us to find time to, you know, really sit down and find something to do, you know, not find something to do, but find a time to record what we want to do. And there's some big stuff coming with Grapevine in general. Especially with the Matt Donahue podcast. If you don't listen to that, you probably should, because I know a lot of people listening to this are probably Patriots guys in my friends group. You know, a lot of just New Englanders in general. Matt loves the Pats. He loves Mac Jones. He loves Tom Brady. Definitely go give him a listen there. But I mean, for this, I kind of just try to cover a broad range of sports topics. Most of the ones that interest me, and that being, you know, the Eagles, the Bruins, the Celtics, the Red Sox. I've done the bigger ones before, like the trade deadline and the free agency conversations. I'm gonna stick to, you know, the teams that I do know right now, the ones that are really hitting their seasons. And, you know, the Eagles, they've played two games, their third one tonight. Red Sox are in a crazy, crazy, crazy wild card race with what seems like just the AL East is really, you know, fighting it out right now. And we will have a special guest, probably someone you wouldn't expect me, a Red Sox fan, to want to talk to, especially after the last three games. All right, so joining me now is Joe LaGrippo. We're both big commentators when it comes to, you know, what's going wrong at Quinnipiac. It's no fun talking about, you know, the fun stuff. You know, we just like subtweeting and other things. Joe, unlike myself, is a Yankees fan, and you know, I'm a Red Sox fan. I'm also a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and he's a New York Giants fan.
So we really don't like each other when it comes to sports, huh?
No. Well, see, you know, the thing is, I don't see the Giants as a threat, so.
No, I can't really speak much to that, so I'll let you ride with that one.
Yeah, no, I mean, my roommate for the first 2 years was a Washington football team fan, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a little more competitive then, but I mean, the last few years have not been great for either side, the Eagles or the Giants. No. But, you know, what Joe and I are talking about today mostly is baseball, because, you know, that wild card race is really heating up right now. I mean, it has been for like the last month or so. You know, those AL East teams and the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Blue Jays have all been what seems like have had, you know, what seemed like sole possession of that first wild card spot. And they either play each other or or an NL team or a different AL team, and they lose a game or two, and then all of a sudden, oh, the Red Sox are back up top. The Yankees are in second. They move up first. They're back to third in 2 days. The Red Sox and Yankees just finished up a three-game series in Boston, which the Yankees swept in three games. So my first question is, so what do you think about, you know, the Yankees going forward?
Yeah, so just a little comment on that, the series they just had. The Yankees have been on the other side of that so many times this season, where it's just heartbreaking loss after heartbreaking loss. And it's just like, there's no way it can happen again, right? And then it does happen again. So looking forward now, it's almost like, okay, in a way you're hoping that the Yankees have gotten all those terrible, bad, disgusting losses out of their system. They're heating up at just the right time. There's some six games left in the season, I think, around there. So they're heating up at just the right amount of time. Look at the Cardinals in the NL, who had their playoff odds by Fangraphs. It was like some 5% it was at one point.
3.6 at like some point, and now yeah.
Now they're in a wild card spot, and nobody wants to face them right now. So it's all about getting hot at the right time, and that's exactly what I feel like the Yankees are doing right now. And they just got Jameson Taillon back activated today, and he's gonna get on the mound tomorrow, and he's had an awesome second half for the Yankees. So looking forward to the future, you know, you just hope they can stay hot and ride the momentum.
Yeah, they're 100% going to need it, because, I mean, their six games are way different than the Red Sox last six games.
Yeah, complete polar opposite.
The Red Sox get a three-game series in Baltimore. I mean, there really is no home field advantage when you're playing the Orioles, you know, at Camden Yards, because they're 50-106. They're 2-3 in their last five. And then they're heading to Washington, D.C., to play the Nationals, who are 64-92 and also 2-3 in their last five. But the Yankees are going to Toronto for a three-game series that starts tomorrow on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're at home against Tampa Bay, who has been somehow, I mean, like, we think that, like, oh yeah, like, they're not going to do it anymore. Like, they gave away a bunch of pieces from that World Series run. They're three games away from a 100 win season.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the whole fool me once, shame on you type thing. Fool me twice, shame on me. So,
but it's happened four straight years now.
A lot of people count the Rays out. They're a low budget team, not a lot of big names. They sell off how many pieces? Morton's gone, Blake Snell's gone. And then you're just like, all right, there's no way this team's going to be a threat. And then all of a sudden they're just, you know, riding in first place for a large chunk of the season.
And I mean, in that first place spot was, you know, as the Red Sox fan here, that was a tough one to lose.
Yeah.
The Red Sox seemed like the best team in baseball heading into the All-Star break. And then the trade deadline afterwards was kind of just like, I mean, you can say what you want about, you know, what happened to the trade deadline. I don't think the Red Sox needed to be that big of buyers. I personally wasn't a huge name of too many of the names that were, like, you know, the big fishes out there that I was the Yankees were to scoop up, in Joey Gallo, Anthony Rizzo, Taillon also. Like, I didn't think the Red Sox really needed to give away the future for a pitcher. And I was in favor of them adding a left-handed bat at first base. But, like, obviously the Yankees got Rizzo for what seemed like nothing at the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Red Sox have done decent in getting Bobby Dalbec his innings at first base. But the addition of Kyle Schwarber was big at the time, but you realize that he's injured. I mean, what was his streak? It was like he had like 20 home runs in 18 games, something like that.
Yeah, it was something crazy. We were absolutely carrying the Nationals, who obviously are a really bad team. Yeah. And he was super hot in that. It was like for like a solid month, just absolutely tearing the cover off the ball.
It seemed like every single game he was hitting a leadoff home run.
Yeah, yeah.
For a month straight.
Insane stretch.
But then the Red Sox come out of that All-Star break and out of the trade deadline, and they just lost really bad. They were on par with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think the Pirates had like two or more losses in like the 20 game span that I'm talking about. I think the Pirates had like two more losses than the Red Sox had in that stretch, which is bad because the Pirates are obviously not anywhere close to a playoff team. But that's where the Yankees took off. You know, Rizzo and Gallo didn't get acclimated right away, and their pickups started paying dividends during that, what was it, 14-game winning streak?
13, I think. 13, 14, yeah. Somewhere around there. Yeah.
I mean, and they crushed it. And that first place spot was no longer the Red Sox. The Rays have taken that spot and ran. They clinched the division a few days ago. And that's going to be tough for the Yankees. I mean, the Red Sox have to not choke against the Nationals and the Orioles, who the Orioles did sweep the Red Sox the first season of the year. Us Red Sox fans like to remember that. I'm sure a lot of Yankees fans do too.
We haven't had our fair share of luck with the Orioles either. So
any given day.
Yeah, that's why I know we'll get to this later. The wild card game is insanely scary. It's a scary thing.
We'll go to that now. So I think the wild card game is scary because of right now, as of today, the Blue Jays are in that first spot in the wild card. Playing an away game in Toronto for a one game playoff against all those bats in that lineup and possibly the second best guy for Cy Young this year in Robbie Ray for a one game playoff with all of their arms. That's scary. Yeah. That is very scary.
Yeah, it is. I was looking at the whole probable pitchers and seeing who would line up for each game. Robbie Ray would be on 4 days rest. I mean, that's not terrible. No. Garrett Cole would be on his normal 5-day rest to pitch the wild card game. And then for the Red Sox, would you want Chris Sale on the mound there?
Is it crazy if I say that I want Eovaldi?
I mean, Sale has only been back for like a month-ish, right?
Maybe not even a month.
Yeah.
Like and even the ones he's pitching, he's not getting over 5 innings.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something you need in a wild card game.
Yeah. Eovaldi would be on 4 days rest and Cole would be normal. No, Eovaldi would be on normal rest as well.
Yeah.
And Chris Sale would be on 6 days rest. He'd be on extra rest. So you can really go Chris Sale or Eovaldi, whichever way you wanted.
Yeah. I mean, but still here, I mean, let's say like the Red Sox are playing in Toronto. That's a place where the Red Sox have not done well this season. Mm-hmm. One of the last like full games that I really tuned into because their night games are like 8:30 start time, something like that, 7:08 even then, they're late games. And like, you know, my work schedule doesn't line up with that. And the one, like the last like full games I watched was that meltdown in Toronto where they scored all those runs off Ryu in the game. And then Matt Barnes comes in and during a cold streak. And then that was a doubleheader, I believe. It was the day before where Simeon, it took one pitch in extra innings of a doubleheader, of a doubleheader for him to, you know, hit a home run, win the game for the Blue Jays. They go in the next day. And George Springer hits that moonshot that kind of felt like the Jose Bautista bat flip kind of home run.
Yeah.
Like that's scary. And I think if anything, it hurts me down to my core to say this, that the Yankees are the best match for them right now, just because of that lineup and what they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
They've been hitting obviously you were very attentive to this Red Sox Yankees series. It pretty much every single game followed the same exact script. The Yankees would score a run early. The Red Sox would come back and they'd lead in the third or fourth inning. Nothing would happen for a few innings and then Stanton home run.
Yeah.
And that's like a dagger. It happened in all three games. Was a Stanton home run. Did he finish with 10 RBIs in the series? He
finished with 10 RBIs and the Red Sox scored a total of 9 runs in those three games.
Yeah. Stanton did better than the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Stanton did better than the Red Sox. And I think that play matches up with Toronto the most because, I mean, they've been insanely good, the Blue Jays, this season. And it's crazy to think that, a month and a half ago, Toronto was the fourth best team in the AL East.
Yeah.
And you could argue that they might have the best through-and-through lineup at that time.
Yeah.
Especially,
looking forward to the future, like, the Blue Jays are going to be a team to be reckoned with for years to come. With the young talent on that squad. Yeah. I mean, Vladdy Jr. finally coming into his own and probably will finish runner-up MVP behind Ohtani, but he will make a run for that as well. But it's just up and down. You got Bichette, Vlad, like it's insane. Gurriel, all these guys. all young too, and they're, I mean, their pitching staff,
underrated.
Yeah,
underrated, but they've got it done all year long.
I mean, the one fault you can look at them, and their bullpen's kind of weak. They have the 25th best F-WAR in the entire league when it comes to bullpen. The Yankees are in third. The Red Sox are eighth best, and the Rays, of course, are in first. So you want to knock. If you're playing the Blue Jays, you want to knock a starter out and get to that pen as soon as you can. But if Robbie Ray is on the mound, who will finish top three Cy Young, if not win the Cy Young this year, that's definitely a tough challenge. But like we talked about before, any given day, and that's why the wild card game is so scary. I look back to 2017, Luis Severino finishes third in Cy Young that year. He pitches the wild card game and he gets bombed for 3 runs, gets one out. So it could happen to anybody. And the wild card game is just like, it's constant pacing around. You're never sitting. This will be, I think, my fourth wild card game as a Yankee fan. The Astros, Twins, Athletics, and then this one this year if the Yankees get in.
Yeah. I mean, the wild card is so scary. I mean, and other than this case in Toronto, there might be no home field advantage, because let's say the Red Sox are playing the Yankees. There's going to be half Red Sox fans, half Yankees fans there. And it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Either way it's played, Toronto, you still get a lot of Yankees and Red Sox fans there, because it's not that far from where we are in the Northeast. One thing you mentioned about the Blue Jays was their future.
Mm-hmm.
And the first guy I had on my list talking about like what's next for the team that doesn't make it, I have some players listed that are either expiring, they have club options, mutual options, like player options, or they're just like another year of arbitration ready. And the first one that I had on my list for the Blue Jays is Jose Berrios. That was maybe my favorite trade deadline trade, because I didn't like it for Toronto at first, because they give away Simeon Woods Richardson, who was like a top 20 prospect in baseball.
Yeah.
I think he was like their number three, which is crazy.
Yeah.
He's top 20 in baseball, but he's like their third best prospect. And who they give away? Austin Martin too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was a guy that was maybe going to go first in that draft and then fell to the Blue Jays. And he looked really promising, and it was crazy to me how easily they flipped him. But I want to pull up the rest of that Blue Jays farm system, because it's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
They have a lot of really notable names in there. Wow, the Reds are beating the Pirates 13-1 right now. I'm pretty sure Nick Castellanos had a home run, so let's hope nothing bad's happening out there in America right now. See, the White Sox win 8-2 against the Tigers. Of course, this is loading, right? It's like really slow for me right now. It's perfect timing. But the Toronto Blue Jays, their number one, he's a guy who moved up a lot, was Gabriel Moreno.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this has been updated a little bit because they've had some guys who have lost their service time there. And that being like Nate Pearson, who's been a top pitcher for literally years now.
Yeah.
I remember him. He had like some combine performance. He was throwing like 102 miles an hour as like a 19-year-old.
That's insane.
Obviously, he hasn't found much MLB success yet, but I mean, he's still a young kid.
Yeah, so much.
Which a lot. But I mean, they got Jordan Groshans, who's their second best shortstop in their pool, but he might be like one of the best. I want to pull up the by position. Because Groshans up there for sure. Orelvis Martinez is the number 10 shortstop right now. And Groshans can't be too far behind. He's only going to show me the top 10, of course, but their farm system's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They got a lot of guys to pay this year.
Yeah.
They have a lot of guys to pay.
Yeah. I'm looking at their ETAs right now for their top seven prospects. Six of them are expected to debut either next season or in 2 years from now. So it's a lot of immediate talent that will be, you know, coming up from that system.
Yeah, you mean you scroll down, I see a lot more 2023s, and I mean that team's gonna be good for a while. Obviously, you can't expect like playoff runs from a team that's half of half rookies that still have, like, you know, less than a year of service time. But I mean, who knows? Because the Raids are in first place and almost have 100 wins. But I mean, they have a lot of guys to pay this offseason. Obviously, you know, Vlad's not a free agent. He's going to be in arbitration. But it's still, he's going to get a pay raise. So you got Berríos, Bichette, Kevon Biggio, Vlad, Teoscar Hernandez, Alejandro Kirk, Danny Jensen, both their catchers, Nate Pearson. Those guys are, I believe, are all in arbitration. And then Marcus Semien was on a one-year deal. Super underpaid, by the way.
Oh, yeah, of course. He's going to get paid, though, this offseason.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, what, he was $15 million for a year, then coming over from Oakland. Robbie Ray has a club option. And I think Kirby Yates' contract expires. Did he ever pitch an inning for the Blue Jays?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know he got hurt really early. I don't know if it was in spring training or if it was in the regular season.
Yeah, he had Tommy John pretty early before the season started. Yeah. He hasn't made an appearance yet. But, I mean, that's their big names. They're going to be paying a lot of money to Vlad soon. So,
mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you look at it and Berríos and – so you said Robbie Ray has a club option, which they'll probably pick up, right?
I think it's like $10 million.
Yeah, they'll pick that up.
Yeah, I mean – You would hope, right? I don't think he's that old also.
Yeah. And I know the Yankees had been looking at him for a long time when he was on the Diamondbacks. And the one thing they couldn't really grasp with was he gave up a lot of home runs. And obviously, if you're pitching in Yankee Stadium, that's not going to bode well. We see that with Andrew Heaney right now. You can't be a fly ball pitcher and then expect to be a successful pitcher in pinstripes in the Bronx. So,
in that short porch, you can't be a fly ball pitcher.
No way. Yeah. And so they stayed away from Robbie Ray, and then
Robbie Ray is actually a UFA.
Oh, okay.
For 2021, he made $8 million this year, and he'll be a UFA.
Okay.
So he's probably going to be the top pitching availability there, just based off what he did this season. Next, I'm going to go to the Red Sox. J.D. Martinez, who's made a boatload of money over the last, like, three or four seasons, he has a $19.5 million player option, which why wouldn't you opt into?
Yeah.
Just because he's pushing towards his mid-30s and – he's still playing good baseball, but I mean, you want to lock in that 19.5 any given day. It's like guys in the NBA, it's like any like 30-year-old can be making $20 million just because he signed an awful contract when he was 25.
Yeah.
And the team stuck paying him $25 million until he's 32 for a bench warmer. Schwarber has a club option for $11 million, I believe, which is nice because he's only 28. I think he's turning 29 soon. And then Eduardo Rodriguez, Christian Vasquez has a $7 million club option. Bobby Dalbec is arbitration available. Rafael Devers, he's arbitration as well, but you might as well just sign that guy long-term because he needs it.
Yeah.
Tanner Houck, I mean, he's not a huge name, but I mean, he's made plenty of starts and he figures to be a big part of that Red Sox rotation next year. He won't get paid too much though. Verdugo, he's only like 25, 26, so he's arbitration still. And Hunter Renfro, he's 30. And I think he only signed for $10 million last season, if I'm not wrong. But I mean, he's only 30 again, and he's been the highlight of that Red Sox outfield this season after so much uncertainty after Mookie Betts left. I mean, like that Red Sox outfield, they've had a lot of different guys there this season with, you know, Verdugo, Martinez, Duran playing in there, Renfro and Schwarber even, because even though they want to play him as a first baseman, they have a lot of money to spend on outfielders this season. Also, like, I think picking up Devers would be the best decision that they'd ever made, even though it's probably on the radar anyway. I'm no GM here, but – you kind of want to keep that guy long term if you're the Red Sox.
Yeah, for sure. The one memory I'll always have Rafael Devers is in his rookie season, he comes up against Aroldis Chapman and just puts one into the Yankee bullpen.
I was at that game.
You were there? No way.
I was at that game. Yeah. I was doing my college tours and I went to between Hofstra and Ithaca, and a night we just like stayed down near Yankee Stadium, and they just happened playing the Red Sox that night. And of course my dad is like this loudmouth Red Sox fan, and right behind the left field foul pole, we're surrounded in a sea of pinstripes, and you know, they're down. And then Aroldis Chapman, who he's been who he's been his whole career. You can, you know, he might be wild sometimes, but the guy gets the job done.
Yeah.
That's just been Aroldis Chapman. He throws hard. He's going to strike you out. This young kid who they said had no ability, lefty lefty, steps into the plate, and just hits one opposite field. It was like not too far from me either. I was like, oh my God, it was like so close to me. And cause I think like that inning too, cause I think Benintendi got a hit that inning. He did the same thing. Like, people were questioning his lefty lefty ability. That just felt so great. That was like my favorite Red Sox Yankees game thing I've been to. I've been to a few of them. That one definitely tops it.
I've been to one Yankee Red Sox game. It was at Fenway. And they were, who was pitching for the Red Sox? I forgot off the top of my head, but he threw a complete game shutout. And the Yankees had one hit, and it was Miguel Andujar, had a solo home run, and that was it. So it was not fun. No. It was the year the Red Sox won the World Series too.
Oh, yeah. My parents went to that game that they won the World Series at Fenway Park.
Oh, really?
It was just like some random thing. There was like we had like friends from when I was on a hockey team, and they had like season tickets, and they're just like, oh, it's like game five. You guys can like just like give us money and like you guys can go. And my parents just like went to game five because, like, you know, who expects a World Series that was like that close?
Yeah.
The Red Sox like were, and like they were a good team, but like I don't think anyone had them winning that in five.
Yeah.
Going 4-1 quick there. They went and ended up winning the World Series in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. They were a really good team that year.
I went to Red Sox Yankees at Yankee Stadium again this year. I also went to Red Sox Mariners at Fenway Park. I paid $160 per ticket.
Whoa.
At Fenway Park, right? And I'm sitting behind a pole the whole entire time. So the whole entire game, I'm like. Then went to Yankee Stadium, and they have like those like high school bleachers in center field and right center field, $30 each.
Wow. I've always wanted to sit in the bleachers, but I just never got around to it. Is it comfortable?
Oh no. You're sitting on like this metal bench the whole entire time.
Yeah, and there's nothing to support your back, so you're just like.
No, yeah. The only thing supporting my back was I had a bunch of NYPD officers behind me the whole entire time, so I wasn't leaning back too much. It was good though, because the Red Sox ended up winning that game. Like, they dominated, and then, you know, I was yelling the whole entire time. I'm like, hey, I got the whole NYPD behind me. I'm safe, right? Like, nope, they might beat my ass too. Because, you know, they're probably Yankees guys as well. And for the Yankees, for guys that they're going to be paying a little bit more this offseason, they got obviously Anthony Rizzo, who they got at the trade deadline. Probably going to want to keep him around. Big left-handed bat that you need in that lineup that's been so right-handed heavy for so long. Andrew Heaney, another trade deadline guy. I'm curious what you think if they're going to take him back or not.
I think that there's no shot he's back in pinstripes next year. And I was going to make a joke and be like, I will be surprised if he's in the league next year. But I mean, an arm is an arm, especially if you're a lefty. He's not fit to play in the Bronx. It's way too small for his style of play. He gives up a ton of fly balls. And you can see him, they just carry out and they land in the bleachers. So he has not been anything what the Yankees expected him to be. And he just does not have a spot in the rotation nor the bullpen. I think so many people would be very upset if Andrew Heaney is back with the Yankees in 2022.
And you're one of them.
Yeah, especially when you have guys like Luis Gil, who started off really hot. Yes, he has his bumps and bruises, but he's a rookie. He's young, left-handed innings. He's much more valuable to the team. Albert Abreu, again, is another guy who they demoted for Jameson Taillon. So now Abreu is off the roster, but Heaney's still here. So it doesn't really – like, I just don't understand why he's here, because to be flat out, he's not good. So,
yeah. I mean, Heaney has 23 games started, 30 games played total. This isn't just with the Yankees, it's in total this year. 129 and two-thirds innings pitched, 129 hits, that's one hit per inning, 85 runs allowed, 83 of them being earned, 41 walks, 150 strikeouts. So, I mean, his K per nine is decent. But so you mentioned he's a fly ball pitcher. You're not expecting a 12 K per nine from him. You're expecting guys to make contact and, you know, someone's going to catch in the outfield. Like, that's what you expect from him.
Yeah.
He's allowed 29 home runs. So that's more than one per start. That's definitely better.
We have seen that firsthand too.
Did he let one up in the Field of Dreams game?
He did.
Yeah.
Of course.
He probably let one up in his debut, the game like that. And you know, yeah, he hasn't been great. But
his home run for nine is 2.01. So two home runs for nine innings, and his home run for fly ball rate is 18%. So 18% of fly balls are going out of the park.
I guess he is a fly ball pitcher.
Yeah, that's almost, you know, one fifth of every fly ball is hitting the seats.
Yeah. Less than ideal. But I mean, 5.76 ERA, you can get worse though. I mean, you really could get a worse pitcher for that price for $6.5 million.
Yeah.
Like Martin Perez. Who's the next guy? Joey Gallo, another trade deadline guy. I don't know if he has an option or if he's a straight up free agent or if he has, I think he might have.
He's in his fifth year right now. So next year would be his sixth year of his contract. And then he'd be a free agent after. So they have one more year of control of him before he hits free agency.
Yeah. He has his arbitration three for him next year. And then he'll be a UFA as 29-year-old in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like he's been in the league forever.
I know. You could say what you want about his approach. He's one of the most true three outcome batters there are: strikeout, home run, walk. He like every single at bat. That's pretty much what you're going to get out of him. He's going to hit near the Mendoza line, but he's also going to hit you 35 home runs a year. And he's going to play. Now, yesterday he dropped the fly ball, but he's going to play exceptional defense among the top in the league. So. Oh, yeah.
100%. I mean, that's what he was known for in Texas. Was he had good range out in right field, which, I mean, you can say whatever you want about playing right field as your primary position.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the guy's a cannon too.
Yeah, and so having him and Judge in the corner of the outfield, super dangerous to run on them. So when Joey Gallo is slumping, he does make it up for it in the field. So you know, I love Joey Gallo. I've been calling for him. For the Yankees to trade for him for 2 years now, 3 years. So when they finally made the deal, it was like a sigh of relief. It was like, finally they got him. And his style of play is like more towards the modern day baseball.
Yeah.
We're not here to hit singles and doubles. We're here to put the ball in the seats, and that's how you score runs the fastest, especially when you're, you know, in the wild card game. You're probably facing the other team's ace, and it's not likely that you're going to get, you know, four or five singles in a row to score a run. You're going to have to put it in the seats. So, and he does balance out the lineup as a lefty.
I mean, he still has time to make this like his best home run season as well. I mean, he's had 144 starts and 147 appearances, 87 runs scored, 97 hits, 13 doubles, which is not awful. I mean, it's not close to his career high in 2018. He was pretty good then.
Mm-hmm.
76 RBIs. Which is pretty much on par with what he's been. He hasn't been a huge RBI guy. I mean, 92 in 2018. That's really good for a guy who batted 206.
Yeah. I mean, probably does, you know, coincide with the fact that he was on a bad Rangers team. So not a lot of people are getting on base for him to knock in anyway.
But I mean, this year, his career high in walks before this was 75 in 2017. And that's in 449 at bats. 75 walks. He has 110 this year.
Yeah. And you love to see that. You know, it's not just straight strikeouts. It's you know, he's getting on base. It's the Moneyball quote. It's like, why do you like this guy? Well, he gets on base, and that's what you like to see.
355 on base. I mean, that's not awful when you're considering the guy has 205 strikeouts. His slugging is, I mean, it is what it is. 470 is great. I mean, that's, I mean, I was looking at his 2019 when he played 70 games and he had a 598. but 470 is great. OPS 0.825. And also this is his best year war-wise. In 2017, he had 3.18. In 2018, when he had that great year with, 40 home runs, 92 RBIs, he had a 2.06. He has a 4.13 war this year. So great trade deadline add. His contract is very manageable, especially when you're the Yankees. Every contract's manageable. I mean, it's only 6.2 this year.
Yeah.
It's not like the Yankees have to pay him too much anyway because he came over halfway through the year. You probably expect a little boost in that of arbitration, just considering how much they need him. But, I mean, I think the biggest thing about the Yankees is that with Gallo and the Yankees is he can play a lot of different positions.
Yeah, for sure. We've seen that.
He's fast enough to play center field. He did it a few times in Texas. I think the biggest thing is, though, if you're really down on his fielding, he can play first base. But first base is a place where the Yankees have a really good problem having a lot of good first basemen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have Rizzo, Voit, LeMahieu can play there too. So first base, yeah, they definitely have that covered.
Yep. So he'll probably stick out in right field, left field for them.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if neither of Anthony Rizzo or Luke Voit are wearing pinstripes next year. Because Rizzo, obviously, like we talked about, is going into free agency. He's getting towards his mid-30s, so it's like, okay, he's getting up there. And then Voit's just been a bad defender his whole career, so he's a liability when he's on the field. You know he's not going to really be that DH for you because that's Stanton. So they can go out there and see what options they do have trade-wise for Luke Voit. He's still under team control for a decent amount of time. And Andy Martino of SNY reported after the trade deadline that the Yankees actually did have basically a handshake deal with an unknown team to trade Luke Voit, but that unknown team pulled out like an hour before the trade deadline or something like that. So they were prepared to trade Luke Voit, and I think they could say goodbye to both Rizzo and Voit this offseason. It'll be a very exciting offseason for the Yankees, I believe, because as we've seen with this roller coaster of a season it's been, they need consistency, and I could see a lot of change happening for the better this offseason. And that could start with Aaron Boone.
Aaron Boone.
Yeah. Who he's not under contract after this year. And I'll ask you a question. Has Aaron Boone done enough to earn a contract extension?
I mean, I'm going to say no.
I don't think so either.
I don't even think he did much to get that job in the first place.
Yeah, besides hit a home run against the Red Sox.
Yeah, like that is what it is. Like what like made the Yankees be like, okay, like this is our guy.
So I heard that he was given a lineup, or he was given numbers by the analytics department, and he was handed them, and they said, here are numbers without names, put these numbers in a lineup 1 through 9. And apparently he nailed 1 through 9 exactly what the analytics department was looking for. And they were basically like, this is our guy. Now, I'm sure there was a lot of other reasons.
I mean, like that looks good on in the hiring process of a coach. I mean, back to your question, I don't think he's done much to warrant an extension in New York. I mean, I think really there's plenty of guys you can come find that can find the success that he's had or the lack of, if you want to say that, because their team is good.
Yeah.
It's not hard just saying, okay, Aaron, you're going to right field. Giancarlo, you're going to left. Hey, you guy off the street, you're playing center tonight. Hey, Glaber, you want to play short? Okay. I mean, we'll take the errors, but you can go at 20 home runs against the Orioles and we'll play good. And they have the corner infielders there. I mean, you don't move Gary minus a defense, whatever. That can get better. Mm-hmm. I don't think Boone's job was that hard.
Yeah.
With the pieces that he had to make a lineup.
Yeah, and they underwhelmed. I mean, they haven't been to the World Series in over a decade, and they've definitely had the talent to be there. but they're just not finishing. And do you blame the manager for the performance of the players? No.
I do sometimes. I did in that game the other day when the Red Sox went to Darwin's and Hernandez instead of Josh Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
We found out a few days afterwards that Taylor's been dealing with some back stuff, but like he was healthy at that time. He was in the bullpen ready to play. When Stanton hit that home run, they went to Hernandez to face a lefty. The next person on deck was Stanton.
Yeah.
I think you keep Houck in for the get that in the last out against the lefty. You can say what you want with it. You can say what you want with the troubles that Houck had facing that lineup the third time through. But I mean, I'd rather have him face a guy who isn't Giancarlo Stanton and then have a righty like Ottavino or someone, literally anyone else. That's a righty of Stanton. I know it doesn't make it much better, but I mean, when you're feeding a guy like Stanton who can literally like swing, like he can swing the bat backwards and probably hit at 450. it feels better having the right guy, at least what feels like the right guy coming out of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think my biggest knock on Cora has been, is the poor bullpen decisions.
Yeah. That's probably what Yankee fans would say about Aaron Boone too.
I think that's why you can blame a manager for a poor player performance. Even though it was on Hernandez for, you know, throwing him a belt high fastball, you know, right down the drain to Giancarlo Stanton with a lead and runners on base. That's on the pitcher and not much on Alex Cora, but I would have liked to seen a different guy in that spot. I know, again, I'm not the head coach of Major League Baseball team. I'm not the head coach of a high school, middle school, anything like that. I played baseball till I was 12. Like, what do I know? Right. Like, I'm just a big Red Sox fan who I would have rather seen a righty in that situation. I know that part of the batting order was lefty, righty, lefty, I believe. I forget. It might have been different. It might have been Judge right after Stanton, something like that. But I would have rather seen a righty in that situation, especially not Hernandez, regardless of what his numbers have been over his last 14 performance, whatever it was, with a zero ERA. I would have just liked seen a righty there in a spot against maybe the best home run hitter that we've seen in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Definitely one of the top of our generation, for sure.
100%. And like that's where I think that managing baseball is like such a, it's such a more complex thing than us as the fans, even no matter what your level of fandom is for the game of baseball. It's so complex.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to go to the Red Sox because that's just what I know. Kyle Schwarber, again, we talked about earlier, hit like 20 leadoff home runs in 18 games. You might think that he's the shoe-in for the Red Sox leadoff hitter. Statistically this season, I think at least in the AL, Kike Hernandez had the best like F war, something like that. I forget what the exact number was, what the exact stat was. But he was like leading like in efficiency as a leadoff hitter in the AL. So do you sit Kike Hernandez and put him deeper down the lineup, or do you put, you know, do you stick Schwarber at two and move everyone else down? Like, it's not our decision that, like, we would know. And obviously for the Red Sox, they haven't seen Schwarber leading off much, but when he has, it's paid off. Yeah. Same thing with Kike Hernandez. He had a stretch in, like, 10 games where he had, like, four home runs and a bunch of extra bases. He won a game against the Yankees this season. Hernandez had pretty much on his own from that leadoff spot. And I think, again, I'm going to cycle back to the wild card. That's why that wild card lineup matters so much when you get to it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be seeing the other team's best. We've already gone through it. Like, you know, that Cole will be ready. Sale Evaldi will be ready. Robbie Ray will be ready. You're going to see the other team's best. And that lineup needs to be primed. And if the Yankees, you know, come out with Tyler Wade and the ghost of Aaron Hicks as their 1 and 2, like they're in for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't like Aaron Boone. I'm going to say that he doesn't. I'm going to circle back to your question again. I don't like Aaron Boone. I'm going to agree with the masses of the Yankees fans in this one that he doesn't deserve a contract extension. But counter question, What's the kind of guy that they do go for a manager role?
I think that Aaron Boone. So before I even answer that, we obviously know the league is getting very analytical. Whether you like that or not, or whether the population likes that or not, that's the way it's going. And it's been going like that for a decent amount of time now. I think Aaron Boone knows analytics but not as much as, you know, somebody younger might, or has been involved longer. I think the Yankees should go for a super stat head and a young guy who, you know, Aaron Boone, like, I don't think Aaron Boone looks at the right numbers a lot, but then, like, I always ask myself, like, is Aaron Boone really the one calling the shots? Like, is Aaron Boone creating the everyday lineup? I personally don't think so. I think it's the Yankees analytic department that just puts it on his desk and says, post this on the dugout. Like, and this is what you're running out with today. Maybe Brian Cashman's analytic department needs to be better. Because I believe Cashman is safe this offseason. I don't think he's going to get canned. They'll keep riding with him until they can't anymore, until the wheels fall off, I think. Which at times the wheels did fall off, but they were put back on. So I think the Yankees would have to look for somebody to replace Aaron Boone. It would have to be, you know, some analytic nerd who knows what he's talking about and doesn't necessarily butt heads with the way the game is going right now.
Yeah, I think 100%. I mean, we can clown on Kevin Cash for all he did last year in the World Series with pulling Blake Snell. Blake Snell's fastball in that game from like the sixth to seventh inning had dropped like 5 miles an hour. His average fastball velocity. The analytics didn't line up. The Rays lose the World Series. I mean, but like, look at them now. They're looking to make it back there.
Yeah.
We thought that, you know, again, they lose Charlie Morton, who just got absolutely paid again for some reason. I don't know why. They lose Blake Snell. They lose Hunter Renfro. They bring up Brujan, didn't last very long, but Franco just, what was Franco's on base streak? Like 20 something games? It was crazy.
Yeah, some crazy.
Like he's stuck around. Like, these young guys have stuck around. Kevin Cash has got it done. Even with losing Tyler Glasnow for the whole entire season, they've got it done. And I think that Kevin Cash kind of manager is what every team needs.
Yes, especially one that's there for their players. Now, I'm not saying that Aaron Boone, Alex Cora are not there for his players, but Kevin Cash, like, you know, he takes everything on the chin, and he is – it's like he's one of them. Like, he's one of, he's not looked at as like a father, as like some managers might be, like Tony La Russa.
I was going to say, Kevin Cash is the opposite of Tony La Russa. Hates analytics, hates his players.
Yeah, he's the worst manager in baseball, and he's not good for the game of baseball either.
Yeah, no, that style died out a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
How did another job in major leagues? I don't know. Hey, the White Sox are doing well right now, so good on him.
Yeah. Well, if the Yankees or Red Sox were in the AL Central, they would be in first place.
Yes, they would. They would. Especially in that division's so bad.
Yeah. I mean, I think the White Sox are the only team above 500, if I'm correct.
What do we got? The Central, the White Sox are 88 and 68. Mm-hmm. Cleveland, 77 and 79. Detroit, 75 and 80, and also losing to the White Sox right now. The Royals are 71 and 85, and the Twins are 69 and 87. So they're the only team above 500.
Yeah. So not much challenge there this year in the Central.
It's so funny too, because I mean, the White Sox have clinched, but every team in that division has had an E next to their name for a long time. E is an eliminated from playoff contention, like the New York Mets.
Yeah, I mean, speaking about the disappointing seasons, I mean.
Boy,
I don't enjoy ragging on the Mets, because, you know, you don't really do that to your younger brother a lot, but
yeah, don't make him feel bad.
I don't know, man. They have issues that I don't know. I thought their roster was good this year. I guess their bullpen imploded.
I thought money, you know, people say that money can't solve all your problems. I thought money would solve their problems.
Yeah,
they bring in like the richest man on the planet to own their team.
One of the first moves he makes is bringing in Francisco Lindor, who did not play like Francisco Lindor this year.
He did not. He had like a good like 3 week span where he was like, oh, this is Francisco Lindor that we know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he probably got like hurt against like that. Yeah. They bring in Javi Baez. they trade for Javi Baez at the trade deadline, and
yeah, and they didn't make the playoffs. So they gave up assets for a pending free agent who didn't help you get to the playoffs. So it's just looks like a bad trade. And if you don't bring him back, which is definitely
doesn't look like it.
Yeah. Because he's going to ask for over 250, right?
Oh my God, easily. What do you think the years are on that?
Ooh. Let me see how old he is. He's 28. Javi Baez. He'll get somewhere between 7 to 10. Off the top of my head, I'll say 7 to 10. I don't know if he necessarily deserves that, but that's how the league works. Everyone's overpaid. Everyone's given bigger contracts than they deserve. So,
I was a team that had Mookie Betts and let him go for nothing, and he signed for 12 years and $365 million.
Yeah.
So Mookie Betts will be 39 in 2032, making $27.5 million on top of a $5 million signing bonus for that season. So, yeah, his payroll salary is $32.5 million when he's 39 years old. Let's just hope that happens. Let's hope that doesn't happen to the Mets, right? Like, they don't lock up some guy that's going to be 39 years old and they're paying him $40 million.
Robin.
Because Steve Cohen, though. Steve Cohen would do that. He's just going to sign like Jacob DeGrom's like 15-year contract to give him like $500 million.
Yeah.
And then resign.
I mean, like, they traded for Robinson Cano, who's sitting on their payroll. Well, not this year because he got suspended, but he's sitting on their payroll with, I think, 20 mil a year, and he's not good. He's old. So,
who did they give to the Mariners in that trade?
I don't know.
Kelnick, man.
Some guy named Jared Kelnick, yeah.
Who had a rough start to his MLB career, but yeah. I guarantee you he will not put that. He's
I think he had a home run yesterday.
Yeah. Let's see if we can find his stats. I don't know if you can find them right here. Jared Kelnick. So he's batting 174. I think most of that is thanks to his god awful stretch when he started.
Yeah, he had like 30 strikeouts in like the first 2 weeks of his MLB career.
Yeah. But I mean, 14 home runs. Not bad. In September, he's hit. Let's see. I want to see his splits in September, just this month. The last 30 days, he is 23 for 100, which is a 230 batting average, with 8 home runs and 17 RBIs. I know there are a lot of guys out there who have played the whole entire season, or you know, most of the chunk of it, and have 70 in RBIs, and Kelnick has 40.
Yeah,
he's driving the ball in, and that's a good thing to see from a kid who is only 22 years old.
Yeah, for sure.
And has plenty of team control left.
Uh huh.
He has a lot. He's a whole lot of team control left. Robinson Cano, though, he's not that guy anymore. Edwin Diaz. The king of the point. That guy loves letting up home runs. Granted, they barely get over the wall, but he loves just pointing up to them.
Mm-hmm.
That one. It's not a fly ball, I promise you.
Yeah. I know Hansel Robles used to do that on the Mets all the time. I think he still does it.
Oh, he does. Oh, yeah. He got it really.
On the Red Sox or is he on the Angels? Where is he right now?
Red Sox,
yeah.
Yeah. I think there was like a game like not too long ago, like before he got traded with like from the Twins. The Red Sox like hit like a monster home run off of him. And you can see him just fly ball. No.
I
think the last thing I want to get into, I know I didn't give this one beforehand, was talking about that NL West. Because there's two really good teams in that division. Those being the Giants, who have 102 wins. It feels like 2012 again for that team.
Yeah.
They're all like guys in like their mid 30s that are killing it.
Yeah, Posey and Crawford playing like they're
Brandon Belt.
Yeah.
I actually like pulled up the Giants roster the other day, and their pitching staff were like Cy Young candidates like 8 years ago. they had Descovani, who is 31, Gosman's 30. Alex Wood. All guys that are in their 30s and they're 102 win team. Buster Posey, he's 34. Brandon Belt is 33. Brandon Crawford is 34. Tommy La Stella is 32. Evan Longoria is 35. Donovan Solano, the second year sensation, is 33. Wilmer's 30. Chris Bryant is their youngest infielder on their 40 man right now. They're on, at least on their MLB roster, and he's 29. The outfield, they got Alex Dickerson, who's 31, Mike Yastrzemski, who's 31, and Lamonte Wade Jr., who's 27. They have an old team.
Yeah.
102 wins. And we go to the Dodgers. Where are the Dodgers here? Of course, it's going to be slow. There's not much baseball being played today at all. Wow. The Dodgers. Let's look at their rotation. Walker Buehler's 27. Tony Gonsolin's 27. Gratterall's 23. Kershaw's 33, but, I mean, he's playing like he's in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
David Price hasn't done much for them, to be honest. But what about Max Scherzer?
Yeah, who is in the Cy Young conversation.
He's my pick for Cy Young right now.
Yeah, I think that's a safe pick.
He is 15-4 with a 2.28 ERA.
Corbin Burns is also up there for Cy Young.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because it's less of the Dodgers and Giants kind of fighting for first place in the NL West, and I feel like it's more of let's fight to not play the screaming hot Cardinals in the wild card game.
Yeah.
So, and it's crazy that one of these 100 win teams could have their season end in 9 innings in one game.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's so scary, that game.
You know, it's weird though. I mean, not weird. It's interesting who the Dodgers play their last 6 games. They got 3 games at home against the Padres, who are at 500 now, 78-78. And then they're playing the Brewers at home,
who are also a
94 win team.
Yeah.
I mean, their Dodgers have some tough baseball ahead of them.
And the Giants play the Diamondbacks, I think, are in there.
Yep, they're playing the Diamondbacks at home for the rest of this month, and then they're hosting the Padres.
Yeah. So, I mean, looking schedule-wise, you could probably say that the Giants will take home the NL West. But, I mean, it's baseball. Anything can happen. The Diamondbacks come in and sweep, so we'll see.
I think more than anything, I think I'm looking forward, obviously not the AL East, because that's a whole different like level of like my interest right now of what I'm looking forward to for playoff baseball. But whoever the Cardinals are playing that wild card game, it'd be so funny if the Cardinals just get like absolutely smoked in the wild card game.
Uh-huh.
Like this like 15 game winning streak, and they make it to the wild card game and just get their just get clapped like 8-0, something like that, by the Dodgers.
And it's crazy too. The Dodgers can throw out Kershaw, Buehler, Scherzer, and feel comfortable. And like,
how do you how do you go through choosing your wildcard game pitcher for the Dodgers? Let's say you have Scherzer on 3 days rest, you have Kershaw on 4, and Buehler on 5 full rest. Who's your guy for the wild card?
Let's go with Buehler.
I mean, I don't think there's a wrong answer there.
I don't think so either. I'll go with Buehler for he's on the rest, and he's been a Cy Young candidate. Might have fallen off a little bit, but was a Cy Young candidate for a long period of this season. And now you don't want to look too far ahead, but having, you know, Kershaw and Scherzer take game 1 and 2 of the NLDS, if you do win that wild card game, is definitely a position you want to be in. So they really can't go wrong with those top three and whichever
decision. I just forgot about Julio Urias.
Oh, true. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's our number 4 option.
Yeah. So it's like they're so deep. I mean, I think that we could probably agree that their record doesn't say they are, but I think the Dodgers are the best team in baseball.
And they're at 100 wins right now.
Yeah.
And they that pitching rotation is gross.
Yeah.
And with a full healthy rotation, you put Dustin Mann there as their five.
Mm-hmm. But you probably don't even need a fifth starter in the playoffs, but just piggyback him in the bullpen.
I mean, you can have Price, May, Joe Kelly, Knable. I mean, that's really up for like their big arms, but that's a scary team.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
With Will Smith. See, Gavin Lux, Max Muncy, Albert Pujols, the Los Angeles Dodger version, Corey Seager, Justin Turner, and maybe my favorite player in baseball right now, Trey Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Outfield, no big deal. Mookie Betts, AJ Pollock, Chris Taylor. Is Bellinger hurt right now? Is that what's going on with him?
Just having a really bad season.
He's been awful. He's been really bad.
Yeah.
That guy looks lost. It says that he's currently healthy, which I don't believe. Oh, he's on the IL due to rib fracture. So he might not be around for a little while. But, I mean, they haven't needed him to get 200 wins. And anything else you want to talk quicker?
No, I'm dreading the wild card game. I do believe
I'm dreading leading up to the wild card game.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it'll be Yankees Red Sox. I think it'll be in Fenway. If you look at the schedules, the Yankees do have a tougher schedule than, like we talked about earlier, than the Red Sox do. So I'm anticipating Gerrit Cole on the mound in Fenway in one game playoff. And they paid him $324 million for this reason. So, you know, he better show up.
I was going to say my unbiased prediction was going to be Blue Jays Yankees, but I think I'm going to go Red Sox Yankees because I just have to.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be Red Sox Yankees. And I think the Red Sox will have that first wild card when it's all said and done, because the Yankees have the Blue Jays and the Rays for the next six, and the Red Sox have the Orioles and the Nationals, you said?
Yes.
So, I mean,
they're both away, but like, what does that really mean? You know?
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. So,
The Blue Jays have the Yankees, and they play the Orioles the last three games as well. So that could be – that's going to come down to October 3rd.
Yeah, which it could throw in another wrench. Let's say the Yankees need a win in game 162. They could throw Gerrit Cole on the mound in 162 on 4 days rest, and then they'll have to maybe see Nestor Cortez in the playoffs in the wild card.
No. Let's go Red Sox, Yankees, Andrew Heaney on the mound.
Oh, yeah, duh.
In New York. we're gonna play all of our lefties that game for no specific reason. Just put Andrew Heaney out there, even if he gets hit. Like, you know, he's an MLB pitcher, he'll bounce back.
Oh yeah, of course he'll bounce back.
All right, thanks for coming on, Joe. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So yeah, that was Joe LaGrippo. I'll make sure to have all the socials in the description of this podcast as well. I think that's going to about do it for me. We're going to have about an hour here. One last thing I want to mention. Grapevine Media, the Matt Donahue podcast. I talk about Matt a lot because he does great work, not just for himself, but for our group in general. Just landed a little spicy little sponsorship with Manscaped. So starting today, if you use code TMD20, that is all one word, TMD20, you will get 20% off any order at Manscaped. We've got a little short-term thing coming right there, but yeah, I know Matt's excited to work with them, and you know, us bloggers over at Grapevine are going to be helping out as much as we can, and yeah, that's going to be all. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.